1 and 3. What does Jesus say at the end of the road?
Well done, thou good and
faithful. Be thou faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I got to get the Holy Ghost. And they'll pray and pray and pray until they receive the Holy Ghost. And once they get the Holy Ghost, oh, I got it made. I'm going to heaven now. And then they'll go out and get drunk or do anything they want to do. Well, you're missing it. You're missing it. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Well done, thou good and slothful? No. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many.
I feel like, well, I won't say it.
Now what does John 15:16 mean? People have thrown this up to me. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Ye should go forth and bring fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever, whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. They bring this up. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Well, he chose 12 disciples, didn't he? Have not I chosen you 12? Have not I chosen you 12? Whosoever will may come to the world. Well, everybody couldn't be an apostle. So he chose 12. It's that simple. You've not chosen me, I've chosen you. You didn't choose me to be your teacher. I chose to teach you and to send you forth into the world to get to go and bring forth fruit. I wouldn't get hung up on a scripture that simple. Now, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You're a chosen generation. Anyone that comes to the Lord, anyone that hears the call and obeys the gospel, is in that chosen number, that chosen bride, that chosen group. Right? Okay, praise the Lord. It's just like they say, the church, or predestination. Well, sure, the church is predestined. Here's the church. This church is predestined to go to heaven. But you better get in the church, because you're not predestined. This is your predestination. Get in. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. All opposed? Okay, 1 Peter 2:6-7. Now, why are you a chosen generation? We'll answer that by the Bible itself. 1 Peter 2:6-7. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I just saw something. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. See? Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. When you believe, you become his chosen. His chosen generation. His chosen people. And also, the scripture that just came to me would be, oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 1:6, just put it down. Ephesians 1:6, listen to this glorious truth. Who is it that is chosen? Who is it that is precious? What's his name? Jesus. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, I'm back in Peter,
Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Now, listen to Ephesians 1:6. To the praise and of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What makes us chosen? Being accepted in Jesus Christ. What did the voice from heaven say on the holy mountain when we beheld his glory, Peter says? Well, what did the voice say at the baptism of John? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Praise the Lord. And I've been accepted in the beloved, in him. Therefore, I am the chosen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Chosen in him from the foundation of the world. In him. See, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Don't worry about me. If I didn't believe, he'd look at me on judgment day and say, never heard of you, son. Call it stupid. That's what the Bible says. It says, depart from me. I never knew you. Let's see, what page did you say your name's on? Keith Tambor? Sorry, you're not listed here. I never knew you. Out. That's the way it's going to be. That's what the Bible says. But there's only one that God is pleased with, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And glory to God, I've been accepted in him. Oh, can't you raise your hands tonight and praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have been accepted in you, Lord, that you shed your blood for us, that you took our place on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you for salvation. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Accepted in the beloved. Lord, that you included us as you made us iron and cornerstone. Elect, precious. Whosoever believeth upon him shall never be ashamed. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're hidden away in you, Lord. We hide away in the rock. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you're wonderful, Lord. Wonderful, Lord. Just love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We owe it all to him tonight. We owe it all to him. Everything we owe to the Lord Jesus. Without him, truly, we are nothing. Without him, we are drifting. Is a ship without a sail. In John, this is precious too. This really blessed me today. In John, it takes me a long time to get a Bible study together because it's all my own thoughts and all my own looking up everything and no guides. But I really enjoy it. Read John 6:44 and jot it down. More than just jotting the scripture down, get the essence of the explanation by the scripture so that when you go away from here, you won't be wavering. Brother Keith, will you read this?
No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise them up in the last day.
Now that, to some people, sounds conditional. Some people say that you can bring somebody to church and the Spirit of God can be there, but if the Lord isn't drawing that particular person, they can't get saved that night. I say baloney. I say any man can get saved any minute of any day. Amen. Whenever a man will meet God's requirements, he can get saved. Amen. Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Lord.
I say let's get out. Let's get all that other doctrine out of here. Let's become soul winners. Amen. Let's be able to look at somebody and not excuse ourselves from doing personal work. Not excuse ourselves from saying, well, I'd go back and get so-and-so and bring them to the altar, but well, the Lord has to do it, you know. Wait a minute. The Spirit of the Lord is dealing with people constantly.
Right.
Constantly. It's us who don't yield sometimes. Because I want you to read John 12. 32. Now remember what people have said, that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come except the Father draw him. If the Father isn't drawn, you can preach till you're blue in the face. That person can't get saved. Nonsense. Don't listen to that kind of talk. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If you hold a, let's talk about draw a bit. I will draw. If you hold out a piece of meat to a hungry dog, you going to draw that dog? Just get your hand out of the way. If have you ever been in the barn after milking?
Yes.
Here comes my cousin Don with the milk. He's got a little left in the bottom of the pail, and he'll pour it in the cat's pan there. And the cats will come from all over. I never knew there were so many cats in the barn. Here they come, in the doors and from the hay mound and under the cows and all over. Cats. They're drawn. You ever hold out peanuts to an elephant? Hold out candy to a child? It draws them. Well, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Well, what more could God do than to give Jesus Christ to this world? A man who would hang on a cross and give his life and say, now if you come to me, I won't cast you out. What could be more drawing? Hallelujah. I say truly tonight, the Son of Man has been lifted up, and he is drawing.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You can talk to anybody, anywhere, and you can know that Christ has been crucified for that person, and that he is there to draw them to himself. Did you get those scriptures down? He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And the Father had shouted from heaven, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. This is my drawing power. Won't you come? Jesus stands with arms outstretched. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And truly the heavy laden come, and they find rest for their souls. I did and you did. And you can hold that hope out to a dying world tonight. Oh, praise God. Put down Romans 8:32 and Matthew 11:28. In this section of the class tonight. Matthew 11:28, I think it is. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And then Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son. See, this is how the Father draws. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Praise the Lord. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I got some more to go tonight, but it's just a few minutes before closing time, really. And I could finish it if you want. Can we finish it?
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Now, we'll go back to the text tonight, John 12, John. John 12:37-41. Now here it is. God has done all he could do for these Jews. He sent them prophets. They killed the prophets. They stoned the prophets. And now last of all, he sent his only son. And now they take him and they're going to kill him. And he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spake, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said he blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, and so on. Okay, I want to explain that. The miracles were for the purpose of making them believe. Cecil, right here. Plus, you can put down John 20, verses 30 and 31. Those miracles were for the purpose of making them believe. John 20, 30 and 31 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What was it that John the Baptist, what was it that convinced John the Baptist that Jesus was the Christ? When Jesus was performing miracles and two of John the Baptist was put in prison waiting to be beheaded, and he sent two of his disciples and he says, go and ask Jesus if he's the one that should come, or should I look for another? Or do we look for another? And Jesus received their question and he didn't answer them. You know what he did? He did some more miracles before their eyes. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave the blind back their sight. And after he did that, he turned around and he said to those disciples, now you go back and tell John what you saw. Oh, hallelujah. Because then he'll know. He'll know that that one who came was the one who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. Praise the Lord. They knew it. It was prophesied that this man would do these miracles throughout the Bible, and yet they did not believe. Therefore, they could not believe. Why? Why could they not believe? They could not believe him, see, because they did not believe the report of the prophets. This is real. Praise the Lord, brother, come. They could not believe Jesus. See? They could not believe Jesus. That's what he's saying here. They could not believe. You know, they could not believe this was Messiah because they did not believe the report of the prophets. And we have the prophets right here. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That very chapter, Isaiah 53, is the chapter of Christ suffering before the glory. And the Jews to this day say that that scripture does not refer to Messiah, but it refers to them as a nation. See, they would not believe the report of the prophets, and when Jesus came, they did not believe him. I want to read something in Luke. Write this down. Luke 16, 19 through 31. This is a fantastic passage of Scripture. Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Many of you know this story. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Oh no, Abraham! But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What else could God predict? These people that stoned and killed the prophets, from the blood of Abel to Zacharias, and now the Son of God himself comes and they kill him. What else could he predict? How could they believe? After having resisted the report of the prophets, and now the evidence of Christ's own miracles, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You can read Romans 1:28 in conjunction with this. I hope everybody's following me. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. But not until they refused God in their minds. Not until they utterly turned themselves against him. And even then, God's mercy is beyond our comprehension. The prophecy of Isaiah was not the cause of their unbelief. We've got to understand that. The prophecy in Isaiah was not the cause of their unbelief. It was a prediction which by no means forced them to resist him. It was a prediction that by no means forced them to resist him. It was merely the foreknowledge of God. God knew it. A people that rebellious and that stubborn that would stone and kill all the prophets would not hear Moses and the prophets. They would ultimately fill up their measure and crucify the Son of God. I think he even said that. Fill ye up then your measure of your cup. It was because of their own voluntary rebellion, stubbornness, I was just looking for words here, obstinacy. God foresaw this and told it by the prophet. They could not believe means literally they would not believe. Really. They would not believe. They could not believe. They would not believe. They refused. They turned their back on it. How could they believe? They killed the prophets. How could they believe? Now, in closing, a scripture that should really open our eyes and convince us is Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 10. I'll read the first verse and you read the even verses. And then read slowly and meditate as you read these. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 10. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, the Lord's going to show Jeremiah something now. He tells him to go down to the potter's house and observe. Behold, with your eyes, I want you to see something. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels.
Potter to make it.
Sister Faith Lee sang that for us Sunday night. The broken vessel. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying,
O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel.
At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, and to pull down, and to destroy it.
If that nation against whom I have pronounced return from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them.
And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it.
If it be evil in my sight, that obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them.
In other words, if God said, I'm going to destroy you and you repent, he'll save you.
Amen.
And after all, the pronouncement of destruction is upon the whole human race. Yeah. Right in Adam. As in Adam, all die. If you eat that fruit in the day thereof, you shall surely die. The pronouncement of death is passed upon all men. All right. That's proof right there. That you have repented. I have repented. You've repented. I've repented. You've repented.
Praise the Lord.
And God saved us.
Praise the Lord.
Now, and if God has spoken and said, that nation, I'll save them, for instance, the Jews. If they turn their backs on me, it's all off. That's what he says right here in Jeremiah 10. Now, if that sounds like unconditional salvation or unconditional reprobation, then I need a new copy. Maybe some revised version will help me. But I don't find it in King James. I find this, that you and I can go forth as soul winners tonight. We can know that if any man will repent, Jesus Christ will save him. If any backslider will repent, the Lord will take him back again.
Praise the Lord.
He's a loving and a merciful God. The message is not one of unconditional reprobation. The message is one of repent and I'll save you.
Praise the Lord.
Whosoever will may come.
Praise the Lord.
4 minutes overtime tonight. Why don't we dismiss so those that have to go can go, and then if anybody else has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Maybe somebody's got questions on Pharaoh and Judas and things like that. But actually, understanding these basics as brought forth tonight should lay the groundwork and should assist us in understanding Pharaoh, Judas, Jacob, Esau, even Israel. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand?